This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And why do we call them vacation planners and not travel agents? Well, it's simple. They're in the business of putting together vacations and treat every client's vacation like it was their own. If you want to know what it feels like to be treated by the best, and I mean the best professionals in the travel industry, then go visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
I'm Sue. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me today, as always, is my co-host and best friend, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. That's very nice of you. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Got to be my best friend to put up with me in this podcast. I'm doing okay, except that I'm not practicing what I preach. And you know, Michelle, I've been I turned on the training toggle switch about a month ago, and I think I'm overdoing it. I'm a little nervous about. I've been trying to do certain things, running a little fast, and I need to pull myself in a little bit more, and be very careful. And it just we say this a lot. I know I've said this to a lot of people. You have to be careful that you don't overtrain, and I need to listen to what I speak of. So, but I'll figure it out.
Well, I agree. I'm just trying to stick to what Jeff Galloway has had me do, and I sneak in a little tennis every now and then when I'm supposed to. But, you know, I know that we get a lot of mail from folks who are listening to our podcast as they're training for their first 5K, their first half, the goofy or the dopey. And I just want to say hello if you're training, and keep going. We're with you. I have a shout out. I was just going to say this person's name, but he wrote such an amazing letter that just was very kind, but also I think just inspirational to folks. So, Mike, would you indulge me as I give my very long shout out today?
I'm waiting.
Okay. So this is to from one of our listeners whose name is David Kish, and he wrote, "Hi, Mickey Milers. I wanted to share something with you guys. I've been out of the running loop since June. I had a good stretch from Christmas through May in my running, actually culminated with my first half marathon in April. However, that all came to a sudden stop when I developed an eye problem. It turns out I had a tumor growing behind my right eye. It was pushing on my eyeball and optic nerve and was causing double vision, headaches, and dizziness. The kicker came when my doctor told me I could no longer run because any excessively strenuous activity could cause this to rupture or burst, and that would be excessively bad. I went through numerous scans and tests, a biopsy, and an injection into the tumor. I am cleared to run. Well, today was my first day back on the road. I went 3 miles, mostly walking, but listening to episode 116 of my Running Buddy podcast. Thank you guys for being there. These are the first awkward, painful steps back into the routine. I'm now officially training for my first full marathon, and the Mickey Miles podcast will be with me the entire way. See you on the road." So I was just blown away by that. I mean, how many people would just give up after that? And Dave, I know that so many people are going to be inspired. I'm glad that you're safe and you took care of what you needed to take care of, and that you're on the road to being healthy. And just congratulations to you for getting back out there and starting with walking and setting your sights on your first full marathon. That's awesome.
Yeah, Dave, I think, this is one of those shout-outs that goes a long way because it speaks to your courage, it speaks to your perseverance, and
can hardly wait to see you. Let me just put it that way. So that was a great, great shout out, Michelle. And you know, I was thinking, we had before this coming January, we had the Goofy, and we had the unofficial Dopey, and now we have the official Dopey. And I just hope that for 2015, that the Run Disney folks don't put out there, you know, a fifth race and call it, you know, a 50 miler, because, I mean, if they do, I already have a name for it. We'll name it after one of the Seven Dwarfs, and we'll call it the Doc, because you'll have to go see the doctor after that race. So
when you do post production on the show, you're going to have to put out one of those drum butt up bumps for that one.
What do they call that? A rim shot.
Rim shot. Butt up. Yeah. All right.
We are doing questions today, and we're going to start off with Michelle reading the first question. Michelle, if you please.
Sure. This is from our buddy Patrick Alcacid, and he says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike. Love the podcast. It's always so exciting. A new episode pops up. Anyway, my next target race is the 2014 Goofy Challenge, which brings up three questions and touches on what may or may not be running myths or perhaps truths. Can you clear them up for me? Number one, should we take these one at a time, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, should I wear different shoes for the half and the full marathons? I heard that you need to let your shoes decompress for a day or two between runs. So seeing that the half and the full are back-to-back, should I wear different shoes? Mike?
It depends upon who you talk to, Patrick. I know that there are a lot of people who will, this coming January, take two pairs of shoes, especially those who are doing the Dopey, because they do believe in this feeling that they have to decompress. I've run back-to-back in the same shoes. It doesn't bother me. I think that it's something that you can best judge in your training. If you feel on the second day that there's an issue, that you feel something different in the shoes, then by all means, for that particular weekend and for the rest of your training, you should think about training back-to-back in two alternate shoes. But I think it's an individual thing. Michelle, do you plan on taking two pairs of shoes?
I do. I train with two different pairs of shoes. I have one that's an older pair, one that's a newer pair. I'll definitely be wearing my older pair for the half marathon and my newer pair for the marathon. There's another reason for that, too. Just as I'm traveling, if anything happens to one pair of shoes, I just don't, you know, maybe it starts raining during the half marathon or something. I don't want to be stuck with a pair of wet shoes. So anyway, or Mike dumps Gatorade on me at the end or something like that. So I would definitely bring two pairs of shoes, and I would make sure they're you know, your two training shoes that you've been alternating. The second question he has is, can I take a hot shower after the run, or should I do a cold bath or soak in the hotel pool or a hot tub? I'm reading different things about this. Can either hot or cold hurt me? Mike, I'm going to jump in and answer this one if that's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
So I think part of training is you're learning what works for you. You're learning about your nutrition, your rest, which types of shoes, how many pairs of shoes. And this is something, that Patrick, that you're just going to have to try to figure out what works best for you. I can tell you what I do. So after a run that's longer than about 15 or 16 miles, I do an ice bath. I get into the bathtub with my clothes, and I turn the water on cold, and I gradually add ice into the water. I take my sneakers off first, but I gradually add ice until it's full of all the ice that's in my freezer, and I sit there for about 15 minutes. And this is a way that's kind of more manageable than just jumping into an ice bath. After I've been sitting there for a while, I turn on the hot water. And, you know, after I sit there for 15 minutes, I turn on the hot water and I gradually start peeling all the wet stuff off and putting it into my hamper. And then I take a hot shower after that. So I think you're going to have to figure out what works for you. The ice baths really helped me with recovery. I think, you know, a lot of training helps too when you're used to running longer distances. But I think that you have to figure out what works for you. And so try those things. Try a cold bath, try a hot shower, and see what makes you feel best the next day. Mike?
Well, Patrick doesn't say why he wants to know about this. I don't know if this aches, if there are some aches and pains that he's experiencing after a long run. I agree with you that this is another one of those things where, you know, it's up to the individual. One thing that I can mention that's related to this is that a lot of the aches and pains that we feel when we run is due to inflammation. Inflammation is the cause of, you know, a majority of injuries that we sustain. So taking that cold ice bath really counteracts that inflammation that you're feeling. And a lot of people, Holly Allen, who has been on a recent show, does that a lot, Michelle. And I think that's good. What you can do, Patrick, is when you go into the shower, I'd say start off with I don't want to say a cold shower, but start off with, you know, somewhat mild water, and then you know, turn it up. I don't think that either one is going to be detrimental to your legs or whatever. I think that I don't think it'll hurt you. But as always, you know, don't do anything in excess. If you do take the ice bath, and Michelle, you're in the ice bath for about 20 minutes?
15 minutes, yeah.
15, 20 minutes. Yeah,
with a hot beverage too, like a hot chocolate. I sit there with my clothes on.
yeah. You go right in there with your running clothes on, and you gradually build it up. So,
yep.
So, Patrick, try them both. See what works for you, and then come January, you'll know what to do.
Report back to us, Patrick. Tell us how it worked out. So his third question is, can I do the Goofy Challenge as my first marathon, or should I build up to it? My most recent race was the 2013 Atlantic City Half Marathon, and I know he ran into Eddie McCoy there, but that was my first official half marathon. I've never run a full 26.2-mile marathon. I'm following Jeff Galloway's Goofy training program, and I'm planning to walk the half mainly and walk-run the full. Can I do it, or should I start with just a full marathon first? I'm already registered for the Goofy. Well, Patrick, it sounds like if you're already registered, you've already sort of answered that question for yourself that you want to try to do it. I think what Jeff is going to tell you, what he would tell you, I don't want to speak for him, but I know that since I'm doing the Dopey and my goal is just to finish, that he would recommend that you go slowly. So it sounds like you have a good plan to walk the half and do a walk run for the full. I definitely would get some very long training runs in, at least two of them before that marathon, and back to back. I would say, you know, do at least 21, 22 miles. I know in my training plan he has me going 27, and he tends to have people go over the mileage. Mike, what do you have to say about that?
Okay, so Patrick says, can I do the Goofy Challenge? He's signed up for the Goofy Challenge. And then he asks the question, can I do the Goofy Challenge as my first marathon, or should I build up to it? So, Patrick, I'm being honest, and I tell this of everybody. I even tell myself this when I think that every leap should have a bridge. And I think that if you're going from a half marathon to a full marathon, the thing to do is look for a 30K race in between, which is about an 18-mile race. And maybe even a little bit more. I haven't done the math on it. I just did a quick math. I think that you need a bridge. I think that you need to figure out when you're going from one distance to another distance, what kind of impact that will have on your body, your knees, your feet, your breathing, everything. A 13.1-mile run is a completely different animal than a 26.2-mile run. Especially.
Oh, yes. Yes. I just want to underscore that.
and let's be honest. You're going from 13 miles to 39 miles. And can you do that? You might be able to do it, and I'm hoping that you can. A lot of us have done back-to-backs. I don't know if you've done back-to-backs, but Michelle and I have done before either one of us had attempted to do a marathon. We've done back-to-back half marathons, and you know, one day they would do a half marathon, the next day do a half marathon. So I think that is something that you could also do. I hope you do well. I think it's very risky to do that. And I'm just being honest.
I think that's what Patrick wants us to be. But I think if you put in the training, you could do it. Just make sure that you're safe. Okay, ready for the next question, Mike?
Next question comes from John Thompson, who is Hoot Dad. He says, I love the show. I've been listening pretty much since the beginning. There's always a lot of talk about shoes, and in particular when it's time to retire a pair. But what about socks? When should you retire a pair of socks? Is it okay to wear them until they wear out, or are there other things to consider? Thanks and keep running. Well, I mean, again, this is an individual kind of thing, John. I think that what I usually do is when I switch to a new pair of shoes, then I go out looking for one or two new pairs of socks. So probably every 2 or 3 months I'll buy a pair of running socks. Michelle?
And I kind of have the same opinion about this as I do with tennis balls. I go out and buy new tennis balls every few weeks. And the reason I do that is because they're fresh and new and bouncy, and I try to get rid of my old ones. I will buy a brand new pair of socks for every Run Disney event that I do. And I buy the same pair, the Belega shoe socks all the time. I go to my little running store, and I buy the same color. And I just like to have a brand new pair of socks when I run. So I think it's completely up to you. But I think it's, I don't know, I would say have a nice new pair. That's the way I do it. Mike?
I think socks, like shoes, they compress over time. And so eventually they may not be as effective for what they were built for. And so I think it's a good idea to get a fresh pair of socks. I think that they also tend to wear out at the heels. And keep your eyes on the heels and the toes, and I think that socks have a lifespan just like shoes do. So
the other thing too is I have just running socks and I have other socks. So I just keep all of my nice running socks just for running so that they stay longer. All right. So the next question is from Mark Avis from Philly. And he says, hi there. Thanks for the congrats on the 5K. I really appreciate it. So he wanted to let us know that he found dates, in addition to the Run Disney website, he found dates for the 2014 Disney races. And I thought I would just read this off so that the people know. He actually found them in Runner's World, which I think is really interesting, Mike, because I see a lot of Disney advertising in Runner's World. So they are, get your calendars ready, the Princess Half is going to be February 20th through the 23rd. Just the Princess Half weekend, not the actual half. It's not a three-day race. The Everest Challenge is May 2nd and 3rd. The Disneyland Half is August 29th and through the 31st. The Tower of Terror 10-miler is October 3rd and 4th. And the Wine and Dine for next year is November 7th and 8th. He also found that they have a link on the Run Disney site so you can put email updates for race registration. So I went ahead and signed up for that. Any idea when they normally open up registration? Thanks again and keep up the great work. Can't wait to Run Disney and be part of it all. Mike, when do they usually open up registration for races?
My memory tells me that registration usually opens up approximately 9 months from the announcement, usually 1 to 2 months after the announcement, and usually no closer than 9 months to race day. There are exceptions. I think we will see exceptions in January where we may see Run Disney saying you can register right now.
They do actually for for a runner's retreat, they actually let you sign up for right in the tent, because I've met a guy who's done that a few times. Mark, we know that these races fill up very quickly, so be sure to sign up. I know that I was at a conference at the end of January last year when the Dumbo Double Dare became available, and I missed out on it the first time. So, and that was in August, so I was able to go just because I was able to find a way to go, but I didn't get the regular registration. So that is about 8 or 9 months ahead of time.
Oh, one more thing. To Mark Avis, I want to apologize because I rent from Alamo, number one.
Another rent shot.
And number two, regarding the 2014 Disney races, I'm going to predict there's going to be a new race in 2015, and we're going to hear about it sometime in the next 6 months. I'm
oui, just oui. throwing oui, that oui, monsieur? There.
Yes, I think we will hear it sometime soon, Michelle.
And okay. I want to ask, monsieur, out of all those races that he listed, how many are you going to?
My thought right now, Michelle, is I already registered for the Princess Half, and I want to be my guest, and I will go to, I'm looking at the, maybe the Tower of Terra and the Wine and Dine. I do not anticipate the trip to the West Coast next year.
Okay, monsieur. Go ahead.
Okay, the next one comes from Emma Godbold, who says, greetings from the United Kingdom. She says, I've been listening to the show for a month or so now, plus catching up on old episodes. Well, thank God she hasn't discovered WW today. I've been running for about 18 months, and after completing local 5K and 10K events, have signed up for my first half marathon at the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend 2014. It's a dream come true. Obviously, I'm a regular visitor to WDW, but this will be my first ever run Disney event, and I'm beginning to feel a little overwhelmed with all the information. My question is this. If you could give a first-timer only one piece of advice to remember for their first Run Disney event, what would it be and why? Thanks for helping me along this journey. Signed, Emma Godbald. Okay, Michelle, she wants only one piece of advice.
I love this idea. I think we could have a whole show on this idea with people giving their one piece of advice. Here's mine, Emma. My advice would be to not make this a race that you feel like you have to have a certain time, that you come to the race knowing that it's going to be a slow race, that you're going to take your time, that you're going to stop and take pictures with characters, that you're going to take your time when you walk down Main Street and go through the castle and just soak it all in. That would be my advice. What about you, Michael?
This is easy. My advice, Emma, is to listen to this podcast, listen to all the episodes. Between Michelle and myself, we have run about 50 Run Disney events, and we've seen it all on both coasts, and we know what has worked for us and what hasn't worked for us. So that would be that. If I could give you one piece of advice, that would be it. But let me give you an alternative piece of advice, and that is to remember that a Run Disney event, the first three letters are run, but you could also say it's a fun Disney event, and you need to make it a fun event for yourself. So don't worry about time. Don't worry about anything else but enjoying yourself and finishing the race and finishing healthy. If you do that for your very first Run Disney event, then you'll come out smiling and you'll be looking forward to the next one. So I think that's the best advice I could give you.
Did you just rebrand it to Fun Disney?
Fun Disney, yes.
Fun Disney, Run Disney. Emma, we want to meet you. We hope that we get to see you in January, and hope you have a great race. Did she say which one she's doing? Oh, her hat. She's doing the half. That's awesome. Great race. Okay, our next question is from Matt Birchfield, and he says, I know you both live in New England. It gets rather cold up here in the winter. When training, do you do road work? Do you do your runs in a treadmill? I ask because I'm considering a Spartan race this coming March, and it's not going to be warm. Should I continue to run outside or move indoors? I think this is so interesting. I actually was thinking about this today because I play tennis at the same place that I run when it is very cold, which is my local Y, as a track that goes around the tennis courts. And it's 7 laps to a mile. And I was, they've done all sorts of changes in the track area. They've put windows there so it's lighter. And I'll tell you, I will do anything to stay out of doors. I love being outside, but I hate the cold. So I will stay out as long as I can. I do run on a rail trail mostly, and it's pretty cleaned up, you know, unless it snows. And I think last year I ran with a buddy of ours, William Van Grohl, and it was, I want to say it was 20s or something. That was That was tough, but I will do anything to run outside before I run on a treadmill or run around the track. There's so much gear. We had a whole show about running gear for the cold. I don't know what episode it was, sometime last year, but stay outside if you can. That's what I would say. What about you, Mike?
Well, Matt, I'm almost the complete opposite of Michelle. As long as the footing is okay, as long as there's no ice, I'm going to go out there and run. I think that the lowest temperature I have gone out to run in, I think it was 9 degrees one winter day about 10 years ago.
You're a crazy man.
And I mean, obviously, I was very careful with everything. I had gloves. I had a running hat on. I had probably about 2 or 3 layers. And then there was one time, January, I forget, 2006, I went out to run. I ran it was a week before the half, and I went out and I ran like 8 miles in shorts. So it's like this. You always dress for 20 degrees warmer than it really is. So when it was 9, it was really 29. So that's why I dressed for 29. I think you have to be very careful. I think you have to be careful about hypothermia and things like that. So when you talk about cold weather, you have to test it out. You have to figure out, you know, can I handle this weather? Am I going to be okay? So think about that. It's like anything else. You have to test it. I'd say, you know, Matt, give it a shot and see what happens. Good luck. Next question comes from Jim Vignola, and he wants to know when the 2014 full marathon course will be posted. First off, I think it's just going to be just like previous courses, Jim, and I think that we will see it sometime within the next 30 days.
So, Mike, if you wanted to see what the course was for last year, where would you go?
I would go to the Mickey Mouse podcast page and pull down the final race instructions for the 2013 Walt Disney World.
The Mickey Mouse podcast website, right?
It's MickeyMiles podcast.com, yes.
Mickey Miles. It sounded like you said Mickey Piles.
Mickey Piles. That's another podcast soon to be released.
So yeah, that we have all of the race instructions from the last few years, or last year anyway, so you can take a peek at it. But if you look on the Run Disney site right now, it just says course coming soon, but we don't have any reason to think that's going to be any different than last year, so you should be able to find it there. All right, the next question comes from Jackie Wester Revoir, and she says, are the park bathrooms open along the race route? We're doing the 5K next month and are trying to prepare. What about snacks? What do you recommend? So I don't know. She's doing the 5K next month. I'm assuming that this is probably January. Maybe it's I don't know when it is, Jackie. But, of course, it depends on which race you're running. But there will be bathrooms along the way. There are porta potties along the way. I'm trying to think now in January along World Show. If you run the 5K, you're backstage part of the time, and then you go through World Showcase, and the bathrooms near Germany are open. I'm pretty sure the bathrooms near the UK are open. Mike?
I think all the bathrooms are open. Yeah. I don't think any of those bathrooms have because the park is a secure park. I believe that most of the bathrooms don't even have doors. So yeah. I think they'll all be open for business, as they say.
There are no snacks, Jackie, along the race course for a 5K, but there's a box that Run Disney gives you at the end of the race that will have some snacks. So you'll be all set.
And we use the term snacks very loosely.
They're okay. There's some good things in there. Some not so good things. I think hopefully Tara Guidus will help them with maybe giving some other options.
Our next question comes from Sharon Wingate, who says, or who asks, does anyone know when Jeff Galloway's book on nutrition is going to be released? And Jeff, actually, Michelle went out and found this information. So Michelle, yeah. Wanted to...
So I emailed Jeff, and he says the new nutrition book is going to be published next year in 2014. And he also said that most of the information for the new book is contained in A Woman's Guide to Fat Burning. So I have that book. It's kind of interesting. I have it as a Kindle book, and it's pretty good.
There you go.
All right. The next question is from Mike Soskill from Newfoundland, Pennsylvania. He says, "Hello, Mike and Michelle. First, let me thank you for a great podcast. When I'm forced to run on the treadmill, listening to you is the only thing that makes it tolerable. Go, Mike. We'll be taking our first family Disney cruise in December, and I've been running for years and have run several half marathons. My 10-year-old daughter started running a few months ago and is really enjoying it. She's been building mileage and hoping to run her first 5K. Usually I'm a solitary runner, but I've been enjoying the times when we get to run together. We're hoping we could run on Castaway K, the 5K, together on the cruise. I'm not sure if there's an age limit or what the requirements are. Any information that you have could pass along would be very much appreciated." So, Mike, you and I have not done this race, but I went out to somebody who has done the race, and that is our buddy Eddie McCoy, who seems to get a mention on pretty much every podcast we do. But here's his answer. He said, on the Navigator, which is the thing that lists the Run Disney, which lists the events on each day of the Disney cruise, there's a new one every day. It's listed as an adults-only race. With that said, plenty of people have brought their kids to do it. Eddie says, "I remember I was too nervous to bring Emma after reading adult-only, but I know of others who have brought kids as young as 6 with no issues." So, sounds like it would be okay. It says adult-only, but I think there's no reason not to. Sounds like they're pretty flexible about it. But Mike, report back and let us know what happens. I hope you get to run with your daughter.
Next question comes from Krista Brands, who says, "Hey, Mike and Michelle, I tried looking online, but for some reason I was unable to find my answer. What are the host resorts for the marathon weekend, and do the host resorts typically stay the same from year to year? Thanks so much for your help. Keep up the great work."
Okay, Krista, well, we had a hard time finding this one, too. We actually stop the show for a second to do a little bit of running around, and it doesn't seem to be on the final race instructions. I have the all the event programs from all the races for the past few years, and so that's where I found it. So on last year's event program, I'm going to read it right out to you. It says, it's a few paragraphs here. "Monorail transportation will be provided for those participants staying at Disney's Contemporary Resorts, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, and the monorail will transport you to the Ticket and Transportation Center, where you'll board a second monorail to transport you to Epcot. Special marathon weekend transportation will begin from all other Disney World resorts starting at 3 a.m. Buses will be indicated by Run Disney transportation signs. Participants must board buses and monorails no later than 4 a.m. in order to make it to their corrals by 5 a.m. So it looks like all other, because it's the biggest race weekend, you can get the host resorts or all the resorts for that weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, that's probably sense. Why we couldn't think of which one it was, because that's the biggest race weekend, and they need to have all the resorts open.
Well, they also, with all the resorts being the host resorts, Michelle, that encourages the runners to use Disney transportation rather than drive or walk mm-hmm. to the start. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have one more question, Michelle.
Okay. Is that me?
You.
Okay.
That's you.
This is from Justin LeBlanc. He says, "Love the show, slowly making my way through back episodes. I'm training with my sister for the Dopey Challenge. We, like many other Run Disney runners, are raising money for our charity. In our case, we're raising money for the Tourette Syndrome Association. My 11-year-old son has Tourette Syndrome. I, for one, would love to hear about how fundraisers are balancing training, nutrition, and raising money. I think folks would also be interested to learn about some of the charities benefiting from all this running." So I think that would be a great show topic in general. We could have some of our fundraising friends come on and talk about it. But, Mike, do you want to talk about some of the ways that our friends have done fundraising and for what causes?
Well, Justin, as soon as you have decided to do a very commendable thing and raise money for any charity, you need to put a plan into place. And the sooner you do this, the better off you are, because there are certain times of the year where you can do certain things. For instance, when it's really warm out, one of our one of our Team All Ears members has hosted a movie in her backyard and sold popcorn. And I think Michelle was there to help. And you would charge tickets and you would sell popcorn and refreshments and everything, pizza, and that takes advantage of that of the summer months. There's also other things that other people have done, things like just putting a can on a desk and work if you're allowed to, and telling people what you do. And if you do that, you know, I would tell anybody who would like to know more about the organization for whom you're raising money for. I mean, that would help too, and spread the wealth. I know that there are organizations that my children have worked for, played for, and we would have on Monday nights, which would be a very hard night for places like a pizza place to bring in people. We would have a pizza party, and so anyone who would come in that night and buy pizza, would some of the proceeds would go towards the charity, things like that. There are so many things you can do, and I think that one of the nice things about raising money and being a fundraiser is that it gives you an opportunity to be creative. And when you be creative, try to think about the person to whom you're trying to reach. And if you were being approached to donate money, what would be an incentive for you to do that? Once you get an idea of what would work for you, it would probably work for others. Michelle?
Well, in terms of charities, we know that we talked about the Gingerbread Run for Give Kids the World. Our friend Karen did fundraising for that. We know that the WDW radio team runs for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The Team Studio Central team runs for Give Kids the World. Team All Ears runs for Avon Breast Cancer Fund. And forgive me if I've missed other running teams out there, but there's also the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. We've seen the Tourette's people out there too. Some other suggestions, and I definitely think, Justin, we have so many fundraising buddies who do this so well, but some other suggestions are just having a yard sale, definitely using social media. There are places like Applebee's where you can partner with them and have people come in and have a breakfast, or have proceeds from their dinner go to your fundraising effort. Have everybody come in. I know that Pizzeria Uno is another place that does that. So there are lots and lots of different ways to do it, and I think it's worthy of a show because we know that there are lots of runners. And we wish you lots of luck on your fundraising efforts, and I hope everything goes well.
You know, I just thought of one more thing, Justin, that you could do. If you have areas around where you live that have races, maybe you can talk to the race director and ask if there's something that you can do on race day to help your cause. Maybe have a bake sale and have people come over to that. And I think baked goods would probably be very popular to runners at the end of a race. So maybe something like that would work too. But good luck. And if you come up with any creative ideas, we'd love to hear from you. I believe that does it, Michelle.
I believe that does it, Mike.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'd say right about now, people are starting to think about those spring vacation trips. And those who are really smart are going to the folks at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel to help them make those dreams come true. So do you have a dream and you don't know where to start? Well, why not start by visiting the professionals at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel and let them help you make those dreams come true. Visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at Mickey Miles Podcast.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.